This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
The future. Ooh, wow. How fascinating, right? What does it behold for fuel and energy? From the stuff that powers your homes to the chemical reactions that drive your vehicles. I mean, energy isn't everything. From the energy within dipoles of polar substances like water that you drink every day, to the heat from the harsh northern summer sun. Okay, enough chit-chat. Let's just get to the point. What has science got locked behind those steel doors, waiting to be unveiled like some new Marvel movie? Let's pry those doors open and have a see. Have you ever thought about having a fission reactor in your closet? Me neither. But we're one step closer to that. Westinghouse. Yes, the appliance brand makes small modular reactors, which are powerful enough to deliver power to a whole city. Well, I guess nuclear reactors are household appliances. At least they could be. The future. Guess what? Westinghouse is also a world leader in delivering nuclear fuel. Yes, I was shocked the first time I heard as well. A brand known for household appliances is also a postal service for nuclear fuel. Same people who made your half-functioning washing machine also sells radioactive materials. How interesting. However, this isn't just some crazy fact, since Westinghouse and Electrolux is a huge corporation with many names surrounding it. Whether or not Westinghouse was bought by Electrolux, or just the appliance brand rights, doesn't matter. Westinghouse Electric and Electrolux, both being an appliance brand, making reactors, fission reactors, is insane. However, with Electrolux already being the number one corporation for household appliances, it's only normal for a huge corporation to have their eggs in other baskets. Okay, enough of the legal tangent. Now back to your program. Nuclear reactors. How do they work? Well, the fuel, commonly being an isotope of uranium, uranium-235, goes through fission. That makes this happen by throwing a neutron fastball at the uranium's nucleus, shout out to all my baseball fans, causing it to become excited and unstable and end up splitting apart into two lighter elements. However, lighter in mass, but higher bond energy per nucleon, and so it's in a more stable state. However, to change into that state of lower mass, it converts that excess mass into a bunch of energy, which it throws away. Elements want to be in a lower energy state, as it's more stable. And using the mass-energy equivalence equation, E equals mc squared, yes, this famous equation by Albert Einstein, that a lot of people know but don't understand, we can find out that with C being the constant, 3 times 10 to the 8 meters per second speed of light ends up in a huge amount of joules of energy. So, well, we can see that a tiny bit of mass can give a lot of energy. And along with energy and the daughter products, the lighter elements they get split into, it also gives off more neutrons, which will hit another uranium nucleus, and so on as it continues in a chain reaction, giving off massive amounts of energy a second, as these reactions happen at speeds that you won't even come close to in your lifetime of measuring yourself. More than 10 times faster than your brain can react. Okay, the AP small modular reactor complements the AP1000 reactor for cleaner energy mix, energy security, and grid flexibility and stabilization. The AP300 produces 330 megawatts of energy. That's enough to power almost 300,000 homes. Basically, a good city. It's based on its predecessor, the AP1000, which uses pressurized light water to cool down the reactor so it doesn't go boom. Yeah, not another Chernobyl this time, luckily. Okay, so you might not know what these are, but ChatGPT is a thing. Just look it up. The reactors, smaller versions of Chernobyl, to produce a lot of energy. You're welcome. Okay, you might be wondering, why nuclear reactors anyways? Why talk about them? Well, nuclear energy is a powerhouse in today's economy that contributes 10% of global energy production and nearly 20% of Europe's total energy. Combined with the fact, it produces nearly zero carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases, which, with enough of them, can contribute to global warming, or has, and still will be. Other people can clearly see its uses. Nuclear power is very fuel efficient, and one of the best ways to obtain power. Yes, unlimited power! Shout out to all the Star Wars fans. Okay. So what does this mean for us? Well, it means that in the future, energy will likely be cheaper due to supply and demand. However, uranium-235 is relatively rare fuel, unlike carbon-12. And that or thorium, likely, or any other radioactive material will be needed. So I'm not certain this will be the case in the long, long run. Way before our time. Way before after our time. It also means that energy will become more accessible, as these reactors are smaller than traditional SFRs and LWRs. LWRs being light water reactors. Just bigger versions of these. Which both of them are far more expensive than the small modular reactors. And way more time consuming, way bigger, more infrastructure needed, unlike these. Okay. Enough of a radioactive isotope like uranium-235. How about we investigate how hydrogen is being used? A more common element. Hydrogen engines. Now, for all you mechanical engineers, car enthusiasts alike, there's a new competitor in town. Hydrogen cars. Unlike rotary and inline engines, which only work as internal combustion engines, hydrogen engines have two types. Using hydrogen as fuel for internal combustion, just like normal classic cars, or using hydrogen fuel cells, which just converts hydrogen into electricity. More similar to electric vehicles. Therefore, either one has pros and cons over each other, while both still exceeding conventional internal combustion engines. H2ICE, well, acronym for Hydrogen Internal Combustion Engines, which have a lot of similarities to diesel engines and other combustible engines, are perfect for those who hate electric cars. It's a strong word, just dislikes, and who love combustible engines and their power, yet still wanting to contribute to net zero emissions for a better world for your kids. This is while majority reducing carbon emissions and eliminating the need of electric car batteries and their dodgy environmental concerns and opinions, from the build cost to disposal of electric engines after they're destroyed beyond repair. However, the fuel cells would have even less carbon emissions, practically net zero carbon, and also have similar power to diesel engines. 15-minute refuel 500-mile range, similar architecture that doesn't require huge or costly shifts in tool shop training. There's many pros and cons when comparing hydrogen fuel cell engines and hydrogen internal combustion engines. One significant one is how brand new fueling stations and more research and architecture is needed for hydrogen fuel cell engines. However, hydrogen internal combustion engines don't need as much infrastructure as traditional fueling stations can be adapted to the hydrogen combustion cars. In a hydrogen internal combustion engine, hydrogen is injected into the combustion chamber and ignited by a spark plug. Basically the same as traditional internal combustion engines, like your Ferrari, your Toyota, your Honda Civic. The resulting combustion creates heat, which powers the engine, just like in a conventional internal combustion vehicle. Jeez, how many times will I say internal combustion? The only byproduct of hydrogen combustion is water vapor, which makes these engines potentially very environmentally friendly compared to those fossil fuel-based engines, which have many pollutants such as carbon dioxide, a greenhouse gas, which actually helps regulate the Earth's temperatures in the right quantity. But due to these elevated levels, it contributes to global warming and climate changes such as Greenland melting and the ice caps. However, hydrogen fuel cells are slightly different as they generate electricity by combining hydrogen gas with oxygen from the air in a chemical reaction. The result is electricity, water vapor, which is the only emission, and heat. The produced electricity powers an electric motor to drive the vehicle, just like an electric car. Fuel cells are often seen as the future for passenger vehicles, as they are more efficient than their combustion counterpart, while combustion engines would find their own way through people who'd rather have internal combustion engines like the classic cars, or possibly retrofitted applications into the same classic cars, which I just love to see. I'm sure it will be a reality in the future. And, well, if no one does it, I know what I'll be doing as a hobby with my mates. Okay, what does this mean for us, though? Well, first of all, once there's fuel stations around, it means that there's less refueling time than electric cars. A more earth-friendly combustion engine for those noise maniacs who would rather not have an electric car and love the sound of a combustion engine. Now, for the best type of energy production, at least in my eyes, fusion. Now, what was thought previously impossible, such as in the 1970s, has now become a reality. We can now get more energy than what we put in from fusion. This actually happened in 2022 at the National Ignition Facility in California. However, our own Tokamak from Open Star Technologies, a New Zealand company, a New Zealand company doing fusion in a nuclear-free zone, has yet to do that. But they've produced more energy than the energy directly used to fuel the reaction. So they are close. However, there's more energy needed than just the energy to fuel the reaction. So how does tokamak work? Well, they use magnetic fields, superconductors, to contain and confine the hydrogen, which now, into plasma, is shaped into a ring, continuous loop. This makes it into a superheated state where fusion can occur. the nuclei of deuterium and tritium, which are hydrogen isotopes, fuse together, releasing massive amounts of energy in the form of heat and neutrons and helium. The heat spins turbines to generate electricity for us. Deuterium and tritium gases are injected into the tokamak's vacuum chamber, to which the gases are heated to crazy temperatures, which ionize the isotopes and create the plasma. This is all done by creating a strong vacuum and ionizing the gases. Then the superconductors, well, big magnets, confine and shape the plasma into a ring. Now the isotopes have enough kinetic energy to overcome their natural repulsion, so they can now fuse together and form helium and a bunch of energy, which mostly comes in the form of heat, which is harnessed to produce steam, which spins a turbine, and then generates electricity for your TV or your cyber trash truck. Okay. I apologize for that last part, but who thought that was a great design? Like, come on. Have you seen it? Anyways, in the future, once they can produce more energy than the total amount they put into it, we can finally have abundant, clean energy from nuclear reactions for all of Aotearoa and the rest of the world. All for a cleaner tomorrow, as everyone likes to say. Before I go, so if you have any more questions or concerns, feel free to contact chatgpt.com. You can't see it, but I'm giving a thumbs up. Yeah. ChatGPT is useful for information. Okay. Later.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.